Used to speak into teens, and I'm not gonna lie, I feel smarter than the teens, and I definitely don't feel smarter than you guys. Some of you have known the Lord longer than I've been alive, but that's okay because God speaks to everybody. I'm gonna start off by reading the letter I preached yesterday. I preached yesterday at the prison in Pine Ridge. And while I was there, a young man, he was probably like in his 30s, he gave me this letter, and it was a letter that he wrote to God. And he wrote this: "I hate my life. I will freely express my complaint. I will speak as bitterly as I want. I will say to God, don't condemn me. Let me know why you are quarreling with me. What do you gain by mistreating me, by rejecting the work of your hands? While you favor the plans of the wicked, do you actually have human eyes? Do you see as a mortal sees? Are your days like mine? Are your years like human years? Is that why you look for guilt in me and search for sin in me? You know I'm not guilty, but there is no one to rescue me from your hands. Your hands formed me and made every part of me, and then you turned to destroy me. Just remember that you made me out of clay, that you will return me to dust again. Didn't you pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Didn't you dress me in skin and flesh and weave me together with bones and tendons? You gave me life and mercy. Your watchfulness has preserved my spirit, but in your heart you hid these things from me. I know this is what you did. I sin. You watched me. You will not free me from my guilt. How terrible it will be for me if I am guilty. And even if I'm righteous, I dare not lift up my head. I am filled with disgrace while I look upon my misery. Like a proud, ferocious lion, you hunt me down. You keep working your miracles against me. You keep increasing your anger towards me. You keep finding new witness against me. You keep bringing new armies against me. Why did you take me out of the womb? I wish I had breathed my last breath before anyone had laid eyes on me. Then it would be as if I never existed, as if I had been carried from the womb to the tomb. Isn't my life short enough? So stop this and leave me alone. Let me smile a little before I go away to a land of darkness and gloom, to a dismal land of long shadows and confusion, where light is as bright as darkness. I will never return." That's sad. That is really sad. And this guy has this picture of God as being a sky bully, you know? This guy's picture of God is like he's the mean kid with the magnifying glass burning the ants. And it occurred to me as he was reading this, it just is going to further my point today that God's church, you guys here, you need to know God. Because the reason that this guy wrote this letter in anger towards God is because that the church that was preaching to him his whole life gave him a picture of God that was really a picture of Satan. What this man described was demonic. That is not God. And it is such an important call. You guys have to understand, it is such an important call to not be a religious person and to not shed this kind of God to people, because that's not who God is. And so our call is to know God and to love him. Because when we know God and love him, this goes away. Okay? Can you go to the next slide? When you only come to church once a week, once a month, once a year, whenever, you only hear about my understanding of God, learn my concepts of God, and are trying to get spiritually fed with the scraps of my relationship with God. If you only come to church and that's it. Okay? A relationship with God extends past the church doors. In order for you to truly know God, you have to spend time with him, right? Otherwise, you will just hear things in church, right? You'll hear things and you're like, oh, that sounds okay, so I'm just going to go with that. And then it becomes a religion, and then you start putting that on other people. All right, this is what Job said. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is it that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job was saying, you know, Job is been regarded as like the most patient man on the planet. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. He endured all the things and didn't blaspheme God. And when God came down, he's like, Job, man, what's going on? And Job goes, whoa, I said these things out of ignorance because I'd only heard about you. But now that I see you face to face, now that I understand what you're really saying, now that I understand who you really are, wow, was I wrong. Oh my goodness. And then he repented. He's like, God, I'm so sorry. That's not who you were. That's what Job repented of, in case you were wondering. Having a misunderstanding of who God was. And when God revealed himself to Job, when it became an intimate personal relationship, he was like, whoa. And that's what needs to happen. And why this is an extension of Jason's sermons is because without knowing God, we cannot imitate him. Without truly understanding who God is, without having a relationship with him, it's going to be worthless. It's going to be a futile effort to try and just do the right things. You understand what I'm saying? Go to the next slide. If all you do is go to church, this faith in Jesus will only be religion. And God wants more, and we should desire more, right? This is what Paul says. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble to It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put on no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regards to the law, a Pharisee is for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Go ahead. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. First of all, I read that scripture. I want you to keep a couple things in mind. I've been to churches all over the country, okay? All over the country. And I've noticed something, that the religious people in the church don't think that they're religious. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I'm so confused because I'm like reading the same Bible as these guys, and Jesus just pounds on the religious people. You whitewash tombs. You're filthy on the inside, but clean on the outside. You're doing all of these things, and you're religious, and you're trying to do this stuff man-made. And if you come to church on Sunday because your parents went to church on Sunday, because their parents went to church on Sunday, and you sit in that pew, and you listen to the message every morning, this is kind of what Paul is talking about modern day. He's saying, I was that person. I wrote God's scriptures on my hands and taped them up, and I put them on my forehead. I did all of the right things. I was religious, Paul said. But I put it all aside. It is worthless. It is junk. It is garbage because now I know Jesus. I actually have a relationship with him. I talk to him. I fellowship with him. I hang out with him. I love him. And I promise you, it's way better than the religious. I promise you, it is the most fulfilling thing in your life to actually know God, to truly know him. Because if, like I keep saying, and this is, I think the point that I want to stretch to you guys is examine yourselves. And it's, we throw around terms so loosely like Christian, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus, and then we come to church on Sunday. And then we hear the message, and we may even go to the pastor and say, good job, that was a touching sermon. And then we walk out the door without even remembering what was said, without even thinking about how we relate that to our lives, how we relate to God. That's when it becomes a religion. You understand what I'm saying? Jason's like, yes. Go to the next slide, bud. The religious people in this world are missing something so awesome, something real and personal. Go to the next one. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is a scary scripture for me to read. Okay? Because these people are saying, I did all of the spiritual stuff. I did everything right even. I went past even just sitting on the pews. I did stuff. Right? Isn't that good enough? I did all the right stuff. I cast out demons, and Jesus is like, you didn't know me. You didn't know who I am. You didn't get my heart. You didn't let me actually transform you. The Bible says that we know that we've come to love God when we obey what he commands. And he's saying, you did all this stuff, but you didn't really do what I wanted from your life. You didn't really change your heart. You didn't let me change your heart. Now you have to go. You understand? It's not about the right stuff. The right stuff comes when you truly know God. Romans says that love covers a multitude of sins. And we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. To truly love God. And we think that it's okay. We think that it's okay to come to church. And I love God. I went to church on Sunday. It's more than that. And if you truly love God, this is where it kind of flips. This is why Christianity is so convoluted sometimes, where the Christian faith is. Because if you truly loved God and you spent all week with him and you enjoyed his presence every day on a daily basis, you wouldn't just have to go to church. You understand what I'm saying? Church would not just be a thing that you went to show God that you love him. Church would be a thing that you went to show other people God's presence. I think he understands. But we get stuck at the coming to church part or at the doing the right stuff part. And we try to imitate God in our own power instead of truly knowing him. You know what I'm saying? And this is where it gets crazy. You want to go to the... A relationship with God is as real, concrete, and tangible as any relationship with any other person. In fact, the Bible refers to Jesus as our brother, and God as our father, and even our friend. Our relationship with God doesn't have to look like super spiritual, like you have to go into a closet and just and like pray in secret. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Heavenly Father. Like that's That's maybe good, but that's not what God is asking. God is saying, hang out with me. Because I love you. It's not a religious thing. I have a relationship with my wife, and she's not my religion. Do you understand? We make a disconnect somewhere that believing in Jesus is a religion, or that it's just a church thing, and that only pastors can do it. And I promise you, I probably look like a nutso because the Bible says that God is an invisible God. But when I'm driving in my car, I'm talking to God. I have more intense worship in my car alone than I could ever do in public. And I talk to God. And when I talk, I use hand gestures. And so I'm in the car talking to God, explaining my situation or trying to find resolution with God or just hanging out with him. Sometimes I just ask God how he's doing. I don't think we ever do that very much. And I probably look like a weirdo in the car. Because that's how I talk to people, and that's how I talk to God. God's not some mysterious force that we just pray to answer our needs either. And we miss that. It's a tangible relationship. I can tell you that God is the most real thing in my life because I talk to him. And that's simply, if we were going to solve the world's problems, could you imagine what it would look like, what this planet would look like, what this town would look like if every single one of you people in here just talked to God? Could you imagine how intense that would be? What kind of love would be spread in this place if we just talked to God? And it's simple. To quote Jason, quoting other people all the time, it's not rocket science. You just talk to him. You wait for him to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? That's how my relationship with my wife works. I know that my wife doesn't like it when I don't take out the trash. And I know she doesn't like it when I don't take out the trash because she tells me. She says, it stinks. Would you take out the trash? And I say, okay. I mean, it's literally a relationship you learn from God. Check out these scriptures. If we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. He's saying this is our brother. Indeed, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Go to the next one. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Go to the next one. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. This is really cool. This is so cool. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. This is cool for two reasons. God spoke to Moses face to face. Wow. Like someone's talking to a friend. Like God and Moses were just so tight. You know, Moses is like, hey God, what's up? How's your day? I'm sure that's not how that went. I'm sure they spoke holier, like King James. How art thou Godeth? I don't know. But then it's really cool. Joshua, who was Moses' successor, he hung out when Moses left, Joshua was hanging out in the presence of God. And we look in the Old Testament and we see snippets of the relationship with God with like certain individuals. And that's probably part of the reason why we think that just the normal lay person, just you guys sitting in the pews can't have that kind of relationship, but you can. Because the Bible says, Romans 8 says this. Check this out. This will blow your mind if you've never heard this before. We have the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead living inside of us. Right? The same spirit. Paul says in Philippians, if we have any fellowship with that spirit, right? He's urging, if you have fellowship from the spirit, any comfort from God's love, you know, we have fellowship with it. We talk to God. Do you guys remember the book Heaven is for Real? Yeah. I hope so. It was a good book. It sold like 8 million copies. The one part in that book that touched me, it was an amazing story. The kid died, went to heaven, came back. The most amazing part of that book for me was when Pastor Todd's mom came to visit them. And she asks Colton, she said, what did Jesus say about your dad becoming a pastor? And Colton said, oh yeah, he told me about that. He said that he went to dad and asked him to be a pastor, and he was really happy when he said yes. And then Pastor Todd recalls the account of when he was at a camp and he felt the call of God to be a pastor. And the only person he told was his mom, right? But how cool is that? Jesus told this kid, I went to your dad. I went right to his face and said, will you be a pastor for me? And I think a lot of times, even in America, we have the Gnostic view that God is just out there. The force, the thing that governs us, and he sits on the throne on high, and that's it. And when I read that, I wept. I'm serious. I wept for like 30 minutes. It woke my wife up. I was in bed at like 6 o'clock in the morning reading Heaven is for Real. And I came across that part, and I just started weeping. Because God told me something through that little story of this little kid. God's like, I want to do that with everybody. I want to meet with you face to face. I will come off my throne to meet with you, and I will tell you things. And the Bible says that Jesus came that we would have life to the fullest measure. That awesome, amazing, cool thing that religious people miss, that relationship with Christ, is a life lived to its fullest measure. The whole purpose God created man was to know him and love him. You know what I'm saying? That's why he made Adam and Eve. And he looked at me and he's like, man, that's awesome. That is very good. That is so good. And then when we fell, he went to all of the trouble. We have a God that mapped out every detail of salvation for us. And the whole reason he did that, he could have just, forget it, I'll make new people. But no, he cares enough. He said, I'm going to make it so that they can come back to me and have a relationship with me. And we hear this all the time. We hear it so often that in America we've become desensitized to it. And we allow ourselves to become hard-hearted and religious and you know, don't run in God's house. I hate that, by the way. And we allow ourselves to miss the heart of Jesus and the fact that all he wants, literally all he wants, is for you to spend time with him. You can do all the right things. And he said, but I didn't know you. How can I let you into my kingdom as my brother if I didn't know who you were? And this is so important for you guys right here to get this. Because when you leave this church, when you go out those doors, you have to tell other people this news. You have to. You understand? If you leave this place and you don't take what I'm saying to heart, you're going to be held accountable. And I'm not trying to smack you in the face, but it's true. The world out there is dying, and they clearly do not know God. And the people who are telling them about God are people who don't know God. Brandon Hutz was here a couple weeks ago, and he said something that just changed the way that I view people. Part of the second part of the greatest commandment is like the first, to love people like you love God, or to just love people. And if you know God's heart, you know the Bible says that he wants all men to be saved, that he doesn't delight in the destruction of the wicked, that he wants us to pray for all men because it pleases God when we live at peace with each other, because he wants all men to be saved. When we know God, we know that that's his heart. And when we're not actively pursuing that call, we're missing out. We're missing out on a very vital part of knowing God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reality is, Brandon said this and it just blew my mind. How could you hate people so much that you would not tell them about the love of Jesus? If Jesus has truly saved you, he come not just to save us from hell and an eternity in hell. He did that, but he came to save us so that we would have a life lived to its fullest measure. How could you hate somebody so much that you would not tell them that news? It is not a scare tactic. It's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I'm the only one coming for you. I'm God. I'm here. No one else is coming. There is no other way. You have to do this. Please, I love you so much. Come to me. You understand? So how could we hate people so much? How could we come to church on Sunday and think that that's okay to just to come and pat the pastor on the back for a job well done? And we say things like, we want to experience church growth. And we want to experience, a healthy church. And I'm promising you that this church will not be a healthy church unless the people in it start knowing God more and more and more. Because the more you know God, the more in touch you are with his heart. And the more in touch you are with his heart, the more he can speak through you to other people. And that's when we'll experience church growth. When you guys are being the hands and feet of Jesus as an extension of knowing God, because you can't do it on your own. You can't save anybody. And you can't even walk in victory without knowing God. And I say that, and the sad reality is there's some of you who are probably going to leave here today and forget what I've said. And I pray that that's not true. I pray that when you leave this place, your heart will be different. That God that you will allow God to reveal himself to you the way that he's wanted to from the beginning. And don't walk away from this place condemned, because that is not of God. That is not what I'm trying to do. If anything, walk away from this place encouraged. Because now you know something that most people won't even hear about. That you can have a life lived to its fullest measure from knowing God. Can you imagine that? Live your life to its fullest measure. Know God. Know God and love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, we do love you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have come. That you have come for us. Even when we didn't even think of you, you thought of us. Jesus, to know you is so simple, but it is so hard. I would be lying if I didn't admit that it would be hard. It's hard to have a relationship with an invisible God. But I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that you desire to not be mysterious, but you desire to whisper to us, to be intimate with us, to know us, and us to know you, Father God, that That's all we have to do. We just have to know you. Seek first your kingdom and you will just add everything unto us. Every need, every spiritual thing, everything you will give to us if we know you. Because that's who you are. Your plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And we will call your name and you will answer us because we know you and you know us. And we follow you because we recognize your voice. Holy Spirit, just come on each and every one of these individuals in here today. Let them not walk out of this place forgetting what they have heard, but give them ears to hear. Give them hearts to understand and minds to understand this simple truth. We can't go any further. We can't go one more day without knowing you, God, because not knowing you is death. I just pray that everybody here can grasp the unsurpassing beauty of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just pray that, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.